Well, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year again. It's good to be together in the house of God and come together as God's people. Amen. Some visitors this morning, we do welcome you folk, and if you're here for the first time today, we just trust that today will be a really special day for you in your walk with God. But today, just want to speak from the book of Isaiah this morning, but you might remember last week, Pastor Chris brought us a very encouraging message. Amen. It was really, really challenged our heart. It was the message about challenge, what a new year will bring. And as it's been prayed this morning and spoken about, there are always challenges in our life, isn't there? Things always come up. So I just want to speak from the book of Isaiah this morning there. And could I borrow your Bible, please, Pat? I just share from Isaiah this morning, and in Isaiah chapter 54, really encouraging scripture. And as we know, right from the beginning of time through from the beginning of God's foundation, God appointed men to speak on his behalf to us, to a people that needed to hear a word from God. And God could still, right through the ages, God has used some mighty men. As we see, he used the prophets in the Bible, and ever since then, there's been mighty men of God who have risen up and spoken the word of God, who have been great forefathers in the movement of God, and just speaking forth a word. And even today, God still uses mighty men of God to bring forth the word and to speak to us. As God lays things on their hearts, gives them a vision to speak, and so they share the word. And so it's a wonderful thing. And we know that God still speaks, and God uses all of us to speak his word. None of us are... If we're called believers, if we're men and women of God, children of God, you know, none of us are immune from being that purveyor of the gospel. People who can speak the good news that Jesus Christ lives. Amen? Amen. So God uses people to speak, but he in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 54, in verse 2, there's a real encouragement then, because the Israelites were seen to be in great trouble at that time. But here God is speaking out, he's bringing a challenge, and he's encouraging them, and he's encouraging them with the words. He says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. He said, do not hold back, lengthen the cords and strengthen your stakes. And so that's the thing that we have to do, all these things that God's asked us to do, to you know, it's a real challenge for us to do two greater things for God at that. But I believe what God is saying in that, it's not so much about physical things, material things, but it's about enlarging our hearts, isn't it? To open up, to receive more of what God has for us, and in every way. But this is what Isaiah said there. He said, enlarge the place of your tent. We do that even here as a church. We've built on the multi-purpose room there, a mighty facility. But, you know, God's saying to enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. God doesn't want us to hold back from anything of receiving his blessing. He doesn't want us to hold back in going forth, speaking the word, and declaring that he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and he is Lord of our life. Amen? And so the Lord says that. He said, clear lots of ground. and make your tents large, spread out. He says, think big, use plenty of rope and drive the tent pegs deep. And I'm sure those words would encourage you as they have encouraged me. And it says, clear lots of ground for your tents. And I remember as a young boy when we lived up in the Mallee, and uncles are all farmers and we were share farmers. And we were clearing country, you know, and my uncles took out what they call a peppercorn lease. You know, you pay a minimum amount of rent for about 100 years. And so they took this property, and we used to call it the lease. But on that property, all we're forever doing was clearing trees, you know. The poor trees, you think of it now, and all those trees we cleared, but there's thousands and thousands of them. And but after clearing, knocking down all those trees, we had to grub the stumps. And after you grub the stumps, you have to pick them up. You have to clear all the sticks. There's lots of work. There was lots of effort that went into making that a great producing wheat country and sheep country that it is today. And even as a young boy, I thought, why do they want all this land, you know? It's about, I think, nearly 8 miles square or something, you know? And so it's just a massive expanse of land, and it always sort of blew me away as a 10, 11-year-old boy. But we used to love just going out on the lease and working there, clearing the land. And I believe then that was the spirit that God laid in my hand. I have a great affinity with the land, the things of God's creation. Amen. And as you do that, and I know as you work people, you work in your gardens at home, and you get great satisfaction out of it, don't you? And as you dig soil and stuff like that, and you probably pick up a handful of soil and you rub it and you sometimes smell it. It's a real habit of mine, especially when the earth gets moist, you smell the goodness. And I believe that's what God wants us to do, to smell the goodness, you know, that's to savour the good things that God has for us. Amen? And so I believe the Lord is really challenging us, you know, clear lots of ground, make way, you know, and we want the waves of people to come in, not here, but other churches everywhere, for the Spirit of God, for God to do a great thing, for His Spirit to be released, and there'd be a mighty move across this nation, and for God to come in and to make a great stand. But this morning, my wife there spoke about time. The clock is ticking, amen? And so it's always ticking away, and steadily and without fail it continues to move ever forward, doesn't it? The clock doesn't go back. Many times we just wish it would, or stand still so we could get somewhere or be somewhere on time. But the clock is always moving, and we continually try to keep up with time, or we even try to get ahead of it, don't we? To get ahead of it. But this morning I believe, and I say to you, I just believe our church is in a good position to lengthen our ropes and to position ourselves and to have an even greater effect or impact into this community than we've had before. And I'm believing that for this year, 2012, you know, that God will do even greater things. God will do even greater things here in this community. As we know, it's a big community. It's a large community, the city of Brimbank, over 250,000 people in there. More than that, I just forget now. A lot more. But it's over a few hundred thousand people. So, you know, there's a lot of people there that still need to be saved. Amen? And so I'm trusting and believing that, you know, for even greater growth than before, you know, that our attendances will continue to grow even greater than before, you know, that our attendances will continue to grow, and they'll be even larger. But why are attendance numbers important? Well, sometimes we just say, "Oh, I've got 200 or 300 people, and that's great." But It's not the numbers, is it, in that sense? We're not counting numbers to be a large church, because those numbers are people, aren't they? And so, you know, they are God's people, and that's what we have to see. We can't just be seeing numbers. We have to see people and who they are, and that they are people of God, and in every way. So we're looking to that. And each one of us, we represent people, don't we? And so that I'm believing that the 2012 is about people, and God wants us to reach even more people throughout a community, so that they might be saved and added to the church. You know, not as I said, not here, only here, but other places too, other church, and to just to be a part of our local church, and that they might come along and belong to the body of Christ and become a part of God's great kingdom. So we're off to a good start, aren't we? Our base is here. And so there's plenty of room for us to lengthen our ropes and drive the stakes in deep, sort of thing. But so as I said, where do we go from here? You know, God has a word for us. And I believe it's found here in this message given through the prophet Isaiah. And as we just enter into this year of 2012, you know, we just need to think big, get more rope, and drive the stakes deep. You know, it's a pretty simple thing, isn't it? It sounds simple, but we have to apply ourselves and to make that happen, to grow God's kingdom. Amen. It's not just about having a big church. We want to grow the kingdom of God, people who don't know Jesus, to come in and to fill this place, and His glory, His presence will fill the air. Amen. Amen. And so we do that. As Isaiah said, enter the place of your tent, enlarge that, stretch your tent's curtains wide. Do not hold back. That's the important thing. That's the crucial thing, that we don't hold back in any way. That, and as he said, clear lots of ground, you know. Make your tents large, spread out and think big. And I just believe also, you know, if we're ever going to accomplish anything for God, you know, we must change our way of thinking, don't we? We can't continue to keep doing what we always do. We have to sort of forge forward, do a new thing. God says, I'll do a new thing. And so we have to grasp hold of that promise and to do that, to be a part of that, to be a part of what God wants to do in this place and other places, and to be the people He wants us to be. And I said about, you know, we must change our way of thinking. So ultimately, everything we say or do begins with our thoughts, doesn't it? Everything comes from a thought. And in Luke 6:5 there, it says, who you are, not what you say and do, that counts. It's a true saying, isn't it? The scriptural. But it's who you are and not what you do and say that counts. Your true being brims over into true words and deeds. And that's what God wants us to do. We don't want to be just a mob of yap-yap people that can talk the talk and not walk the walk. We don't want to be walking the walk, doing the things that what God wants us to do all the time, and to be that, to be the people that God's created us to be. And so the encouragement there is to get ready for some changes. And Pastor Chris will be unfolding the vision of the church in a few weeks' time. But we have to be preparing our hearts now. And I believe that what Pastor Chris was speaking about last Sunday, about the challenge. So that challenge should have already been sown into our hearts. And it should have been, we should have been anticipating what God is going to do in the days ahead. Amen. And so get ready, as the scripture says, start thinking big, looking to what God's going to do. And we know that God wants us to think differently, to think big. And as we do that, in turn, we're going to, we will begin to act and we will begin to talk differently. As God fills our hearts and we become more, spirit-filled, more, full of God, we're going to talk godly things, aren't we? Well, it's going to be, should be, or it should be less of ourselves and more of God. And to do that, and to be that sort of people. And so as a church, I just believe we're going to begin to do some things differently in the new year. I don't know what they are, but I know God's got a new thing for us. He's going to show us things in every way. And so we, as that happens, when we just have to ask ourselves, how do we respond to new things? How do we respond to change? And we will probably make quite a few, there'll be different reactions, but the encouragement is, if change comes, we have to embrace that, don't we? We have to sort of go with the flow, especially when it's God ordained, and we want to be able to understand the reason that God wants us to do a new thing and to support a new change or anything that might happen here in our midst and in the life of Grow Church. But we just need to seek to understand, you know, what change is about. And even though at the moment our thinking mightn't be in that sort of vein, but we all want to be a part of what God is doing. Amen? We all want to be a part of that. God wants it to be a part of everything he's doing. And as we know, every living organism grows and experiences change, and such is the case in the church. You know, we always change, don't we? But it's, what's it say in Ephesians 4:15? We will in all things grow up unto him who is the head, and that is Christ, Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And it goes on to say, from him the whole body joined together and held together by every supporting ligament. That's every person here today. We uphold each other. We encourage each other. We help one another in every way, in any way we can. We support. That's what God's people is all about. It's caring for one another, isn't it? In every way. We do that, and our thinking has been changed. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus, aren't we? And we all have a story to tell, as I've said many times before. So we have the mind of Christ, don't we? The Spirit of God has been planted within us. And so therefore, Christ has put his Spirit upon us, and we have the mind of Christ. And we're always God-thinking people, Christ-centered people, thinking about that and being led by the Spirit of God that is within us. Amen? In every way. And as it says in Romans 12, you know, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, and that it is his good, and it's pleasing, and it's his perfect will. And as we're just accept that, you know, and have that thinking, that we are a changed people. I'm sure many of us wouldn't want to go back to where we came from. And that, because God done a great thing in our lives, didn't he? He changed us. And as I said, we have the mind and the Spirit of God within us now. And so as we have that Spirit and everything of those things of God within us, you know, we're ready and willing, aren't we, to obey God regardless of the cost. And many people do that. They do things for God, and they don't count the cost, you know. And it's a really good thing. And 1 Peter 1, this is chapter 1, verse 3, and the apostle there, Peter speaking, and he says, therefore, prepare your mind for action. And I think this is all a part of, enlarging our tents, thinking big, and driving the stakes deep, and all that sort of thing. So the apostle here is encouraging us with the words, therefore, prepare your minds for action. As I said, we should be anticipating what Pastor Chris challenged us with there last week. And as the vision is laid out before us in a few weeks' time, that's when our minds should really get into the gear and grasp hold of what God is saying to us through his man, and the vision that God has laid out for the on the church for the church on the pastor for the year ahead that we're going to embrace. So therefore, prepare your minds, get ready now, and God's going to do a great thing in our midst this year. Amen. That's going to be a great thing. And so as a church, we should have the sense that everything we're doing is directed by the Lord. Amen. If it's of ourselves, it'll come to nothing. We know that. But we always should have that sense that God is in our midst and he is directing our path. He is showing our ways. He's leading and guiding us in everything we do. And not everything we do is a result of, thus saith the Lord. And, some of the things just seem like the right thing to do. And we lean on that understanding, that wisdom that God has given us, even though we may not have a direct word from God. And everything, in everything we do, at the end of the day, we want to be able to say it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, that God is in it. And we're in it, and we're in it together, and we can have that affirmation and peace within us, and in that way. And we see in the book of Acts there that in the early church there, there's many things happening there, but they had great discussions about or the way the church should go, how they should operate, all that sort of thing. But, they didn't claim to have a special revelation from God, only that what they agreed upon as a group seemed to also have the agreement of God upon it. They always had that feeling, that affirmation, that whatever they done, God was had his seal upon it. God had his hand upon it. And that's what I want us for a church to have, that no matter what we do and all that, that God's in it, that God has placed his seal upon it. It's not just a good idea we want to do or something like that. It's a God thing that's happened, It's God spoken in that way. But so there, as I'm saying, we all do things different, don't we? And as we do different things or even make changes, we all want to be of one accord. And that's what the Spirit of God in our midst is all about, that we are one accord, we are as one, as I used that scripture early on, how we're all drawn together, we're all wonderfully, fearfully made, and in everything that way. But the important thing is that we accomplish God's purposes, as we accomplish God's purpose, he gives us the liberty in how we do it, and we do it in that. But this morning I'm saying change is in the wind, and the change is just not about the church, not about things, but it should be about the change in us. Amen. that God wants to do a new thing. He wants us to give us, stir up our spirits, stir up our hearts, sow new things into us, and for His Spirit to be upon us. You know, who do you want me to speak to today, Lord? All that sort of thing. And God wants to work within us. And as God works within us, so our thinking will expand, and we'll be doing other things within the midst, within the church, in every way, and that and there. But as I said, God has renewed our minds, and He has transformed our way of thinking. We're a God-thinking people, aren't we, in every way? And so therefore, what do we need to do? We need to get more rope, don't we? We need to get more rope. As the scripture says, lengthen your cords. It says use plenty of rope in another version. So we have to use plenty of God-given ability, God-given gifts within our midst, using people, all that sort of thing. But put simply, we just need to be prepared for growth, don't we? We need to be prepared if we have an influx of people, which will happen, where everyone believes that. But we need to be prepared and to be able to take care of all those things. But, you know, we're thinking big. You know, we've got to get this into our mind. You know, we're thinking big and have God-sized thoughts. And therefore, you know, as that happens, we're going to start acting upon the thoughts that God has given to us. And everyone will come up with things that God has sown into your hearts and bring before the church. These sorts of things will be happening there, but God-sized thoughts and that sort of thing. But just as an illustration, as we know, the nation of Israel was beaten down and defeated. And this is at that time when the prophet Isaiah spoke. He heard a word from God, and he spoke this prophetic word to them. And at that particular time, God was proclaiming His judgment upon that nation and for the sin of the people. What was about the happening, the Israelites were facing 70 years of exile in Babylon, and that what was awaiting them. But here we see the prophet Isaiah, obviously hearing from God, and he gets up at the say and he speaks to the people and there. And so I suppose we could ask for these people, you know, here they are, they're all there, and they're facing 70 years of exile in Babylon. And you could ask, you know, was there any reason for them to have hope? Was there any reason? And we could say, yes, God would not forget His people, amen? Because that was God's promise. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so the Lord spoke through Isaiah, and He brought this encouraging words. And His immediate words were, He said, enlarge your tents, start thinking big, and open your hearts, let God come in, all that sort of thing. So we enlarge your tents. As we know, the tent is a simple and a primitive form of shelter, and my wife could probably testify to that. On some of my expeditions, I've just got a sheet of canvas and thrown it over a farm tents and a farm fence and put a couple of sticks and ropes on it, and we've slept under there for the night, you know. But it's a shelter. It's somewhere to keep the rain, the sun off your head. All we have to do, you know, we have to find a stick or a pole or a little bit of canvas and some rope, and you've got a tent, haven't you? Somewhere to live in, a shelter. But what happens when the family outgrows the tent? What's it say? Get more rope, get more canvas, and maybe another pole, and you can easily make your dwelling larger. And we've done that here. And so, you know, we're there. But 2012, I believe, is not just about making us comfortable. It's about reaching our community. Amen? It's about reaching this community, our neighbours, our families and friends with the message of God's love. That's got to be the foremost thing in our life, no matter what's happening within the church, what we're doing, what programs we're running, the thrust of what we're doing always should be there's a lost world out that door. Amen? And that's the people that we need to be touching and reaching. And so we've got a lot of people that God wants us to include and to be in this church family. Amen? God wants more people in. And Jesus had the right idea when he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. And Luke 24 verse 47, it speaks there about repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached to all nations. Nothing will be held from people anywhere, because this is God's command through the Lord Jesus Christ, has said to go there and to preach the good news. And in John 20 verse 21, Jesus speaking, and he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That's an awesome privilege, isn't it? To think that God would use us and to do the work that Christ done. And that's what it's all about. And so we have an awesome responsibility, an awesome opportunity to go into this part, every part of this community, to reach and to preach the good news that Jesus lives. And so today, as it says in the book of Acts, you will be my witness in Jerusalem. You will be my witnesses in Brimbank and in all Judea and all Samaria and to the uttermost ends of the earth. And these are scriptures, I believe, you know, they're not just for missionaries who take the gospel to the ends of the world. It's for us, it's here, for us here, the local church, and it's for you and I, you know, that we're to take the gospel to our neighbours and to lead them to Jesus, amen? And so the mission field is not somewhere just overseas. It's the moment we walk out that door, you know, that our mission begins. There's a sign up there, it's still there. You know, you're now entering the mission field. And so we just have to take that to heart and to really believe, you know, that every time we walk out there, and God's going to put someone before us and that. And as I've said many times before, we have no excuse for not being able to talk to someone about Christ, amen? Because we're forever being confronted by people, and God's always putting people before us. And as I said that there, we just need to be we want to be a church to be God's beacon of hope. We want this place that as people come in, they will feel safe and secure and know that they'll be looked after, they'll be guiding, and this is going to be a safe harbour of salvation. And if we're going to let God transform our thinking and way of life, and as I said, we've got to begin to think big and to start lengthening the ropes in our church. And and as we lengthen the ropes, and we got longer ropes, so the principle of geometry and construction, you know, you run a guy rope, but if you put a long rope, you got to have a deep peg. And that's what it's saying to us, dig our roots deep. Especially our own lives and hearts. That's what it's saying about there. Drive your pegs deep. Get into the Word of God, the things of God, and strengthen your stakes. Drive the tent pegs deep. And we do this by faith. And we must always remember that the work of the church is not a work that any man can do. We are participants in the work of God. Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen? God will build his church. And I'm just saying to us, let us believe that in 2012 and the years beyond, that even today, that nothing is impossible for God. Amen. Nothing is impossible for God. And to drive the stakes deep. And as we do that, it'll only happen by prayer, won't it? And that's how it's going to happen. That's what will guide us and lead us. And there's a saying, the church advances best on its knees. Amen? And so that, and we know, all know the scripture, that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And Jesus said, the Father will give whatever you ask. And do we ask enough? Do we really get down and plead to God in a real heartfelt way? We can say little Mickey Mouse prayers and say, Lord, I need your help today, my sister's sick, whatever. But no, no, we've got to get really fair dinkum and ask of God in a real sincere way, and God will hear our prayer. Amen. And we do that. We keep strengthening ourselves by the Word of God, don't we? The Word of God is powerful and effective, and will accomplish what? The purposes for which God sends it forth. And we're also by obedience. If we're not obedient to the Word of God, you know, we'll stand back and say, well, what are you doing, God? Well, he said, we'll probably say, well, you're not be very obedient. You're not doing what I ask you to do. And that comes, you know, many, many things. Our praise, our worship, our prayer life, our devotion, our gifts, our talents, our tithing, all that sort of thing. That's what obedience is, isn't it? It's the things of God there. So driving the stakes deep means that we just need to look at our foundation. And the foundation thing, or the main thing, is that we need to remember to keep the main thing the main thing. Whatever the vision is set before us, whatever our pastor brings to us in the new on Vision Day, whatever that is, we need to see that as a central theme. As we've just had our theme for last year, what was that? Shine. So that'll never be forgotten, will it? We just don't have it one year and forget it. It builds. We build each year all the themes, the vision that's there. So as we do that, we just have to keep the vision of the church, the main, the central focus of that, and not to be distracted. And as we do that, you know, we can connect and grow, and as we grow, we serve much, much deeper. I'm coming to a close. But as we've seen in the book of Acts, you know, the people came together, don't we? We all enjoy coming together. I love coming here every Sunday. It's part of our life, isn't it? And I encourage everyone here today, you know, to continue to make it something you do. Sunday's God's Day. We come to church. We come together as a church family. But in the book of Acts, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And that's what God wants for us. We partake, we come together around, we observe the Lord's Supper, and we do that with sincere hearts, and we're glad to do that. It's a part of what we do, isn't it? But in the midst of that, it says here, they were praising God and enjoying the favour of all people, and here, God, the Lord is true to his promise. And it says, then the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And that's what I'm saying this morning. If we're prepared to lengthen our tents, to enlarge, you know, draw larger ropes, get longer ropes, dig in deep, you know, God's going to do a great and a mighty thing in our midst. Not only this year, but the years ahead, God will continue to have that heritage upon the church, and as families come and expand, and that, so it's all a part of about enlarging our tents. But so, you know, it all comes by faith. We have to have the faith to believe, you know, that God is going to do a good thing in our midst. Amen. And we just, as God does a good thing, our hearts will be come to that place, you know, that we're going to be servers. Amen. We're going to be servants of God, servants of the Most High God. And I believe that's what all a part of God wants us to do. In the book of Hebrews, I think it is, there he said, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Amen. So there, this morning, just to encourage you with that, you know, about this enlarging our tents, driving the stakes deep, opening the curtains wide, all that sort of thing, that God wants us to grow in every way in our midst, but to do great things, but most of all, that our hearts will expand. There'll be our chests will pull out. Because, you know, the goodness of God within us. And out of that wellspring, all this will bubble forth, the good things that God has sown in our life. So I encourage you with that this morning, that you know, this year's going to be a great year in the life of Grow Church. Amen? In the life of every person here today. That's my prayer, that, you know, we're going to change. We're going to be even greater people, even greater servants in the things of God, because that's what God wants for us. Amen. So, Father God, again, we just thank you, Lord God, for your hand upon our lives. Lord, that you continue to lead us. You show us your ways, Father. Lord, you withhold nothing back. So, Father, Lord, as we receive all of your the benefits of being a child, a son, a daughter of the Most High God, Lord, we just pray for your Spirit just to continue to be upon us, Lord. Lord, as we look to you, Father God, Lord, we'll continue to exalt you and lift you higher. We'll lift the name of Jesus even higher. And Father, we just pray, Father, for your Spirit to to flow in our midst, Lord, that your Spirit would be upon every man, woman, and child here this day. Father, Lord, you'll do a great thing in each of their lives, Lord God. Lord, as each one looks to you, Lord, you'll meet the needs. Lord, let your favor be upon your people. Let your favor be upon this church. Lord, let us be that people, Lord, who will do what Jesus said. And as the Lord said, go ye into all the world. Lord, let us go into this community, that we may have an even greater impact, that many more people would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, as we just go, come to a close, and we go apart about our ways for this day, be with us throughout this day and the coming week till we meet again, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.